Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Free Indeed podcast with Brother Dave and Brother Rand. This is episode 2. We're talking about what is deliverance. Now, there's a lot of contention on that topic as well, as you know, Brother Randy. There's a lot of people that have different definitions. They have different methods. They have different ideologies and all that and everything. But what we're going to do today, hopefully, is give everyone our understanding as we have it right now and understand it. We're going to look at who needs deliverance, what is deliverance, when to go look for deliverance, where to go look for deliverance, why you should get deliverance, and how to get deliverance. So, Brother Randy, you just recently got back from the annual Thanksgiving campground meeting at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. How did all that go?
It was wonderful. Here's what I've come to learn in 20-something plus years of doing deliverance, but praise God, in 2021 is when I underwent my first deliverance, is that if people simply do what the Word of God says to do, the Lord does exactly what He says He will do. So yeah, people were set free, lives were changed, hearts were healed. People were given new starts, a new release to go out and walk out their salvation with the Lord, less burdened than they were when they came in there. Glory to God.
Well, you know, and that is the whole purpose of deliverance, is to get closer to Jesus.
Exactly.
There's no, we know the people that have the ill motives when they reach out and they just, I want this gone. I just want this gone. And so they can go live their best life now, you know, and that's, you know, I scarcely have seen anyone get delivered. You know, you have the 10 lepers, they all got essentially delivered from leprosy and one was thankful, but you know, I've never seen people really get that deep deliverance, life-changing deliverance, if it's not backed by the motive of I just want to get closer to Jesus.
And my brother, I'm going to tell you, is that, and I say this, and I tell people, is that your life may improve some if you just look at what God says to do and what not to do, and you adhere to that like they're rules, right? Mm-hmm. Rules that if I do this, it's going to be better. But here's what happens. If you're not doing it because you love the Lord and you're grateful for your salvation and you're thankful for the price that He paid, then you won't do it within Him and you won't be sustained by Him and you're going to fall. And eventually you're just going to wear out. But go ahead.
No, I was going to say the strongest deliverances I've been a part of, and even with myself, or when it's like, I would rather die than continue like this.
Oh, come on. Yeah, but yeah.
Like I have to have this. I want and need this, and I am begging for it. I am crying out and hooping and hollering, you know?
Hey, the Lord is, listen, He is magnificent. He loves people. And an amazing thing about deliverance, the real truth is, and I mean, straight out, I mean, we can probably give you 55 nutshells about this, but here's one of them. It's the truth you know that sets you free.
Right.
It's the truth you know. I told them Thursday night, I believe, and at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, I said, listen, when it's not the truth that sets you free. God's word is true no matter whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it, whether you live it, whether you deny it. His word is true. It's the only truth. But what happens is when that truth becomes yours and you become one with it, and even some of that truth is just saying, God, you say I'm supposed to be this way and I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. And I want to be the way you say I'm supposed to be. That's a very truth that means the fear of the Lord is beginning to work.
And you know, a lot of people, they want it to be like a light switch change. It's that's not really how the Lord works. You know, he's got His hand out and He's just like, hey, grab my hand and walk with me. Mm-hmm. And it's not like this instant transportation to the next level or whatever. That's not how it works.
Yeah, there are some people that get a glorious deliverance for specific things in their life. Just amazing. You know, I mean, beat down bad off drug addicts, the hand of God touches them, they don't touch drugs anymore. But it might not have grabbed a hold of the fullness of that rejection that got them there in the first place. And right. So there's a rooting out. So, you know, the Lord Jehovah has mercy on whom he has mercy on. But for most people, and I'm going to, and when I'm saying most, I'm saying 90%, 95%, you will start walking a life of repentance, put your heart towards God, come out of agreement with darkness, and he bit by bit by bit takes us out of Egypt. Hey, you might have been transported out of Egypt, but maybe rephrase that. He takes Egypt out of us. Is what
right. Yeah. There's the physical leaving of something, and then there's the spiritual leaving of something.
Yes.
And that's, you know, when you get, you know, saved, that's that physical, you know, change where you're like, okay, I'm believing in Jesus. Right. And then there's this spiritual change. Well, now the old man has to die. This is why Paul says you have to crucify the flesh daily. You have to die to yourself daily. You have to walk out your sanctification with fear and trembling.
Yes.
Right. And I want to read a verse here, okay?
Do it.
And this is Jesus speaking in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set liberty to them that are bruised." That is deliverance. In a nutshell, I was looking for a verse to explain to someone what is deliverance. It's that.
So what people don't realize, most people don't see, and words are very important. The meaning of words are very important. One day we'll start looking at some words that most people don't have a clue what they really mean and how they apply to us biblically, because you make an assumption that something's one thing when it's another one. But he salvation is synonymous with deliverance. They are synonyms. So what? For one thing, we are delivered or saved from ourselves. We are delivered and saved from destruction and the second death. But we're also delivered and saved from the works of darkness as the Lord gets these demons out of us and we start crucifying our flesh and walk a life fit, and what that it makes us into vessels fit for the master's table.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Very well said, Brother Randy. So who needs deliverance other than everyone? Right. This is the who needs Jesus? Everyone. But like, you know, the question is, you know, who, like, if someone's like, I don't know if I need deliverance, right? I don't know if there's, I think I may be good or whatever. I want you to go through, like, I'm going to say some stuff after you, but I want to hear what you know, some of the major signs that someone should really seek out. Because listen, we're all battling the devil and his temptations through this walk as a believer, right?
Yes.
And people want freedom from their temptations, and that doesn't exist, right? You can beat down the devil. You can get him to a position where he can't successfully tempt you, but he's never going to stop tempting you because he has a mission and a goal to destroy you. So my question to you is, who needs deliverance?
Well, I'm gonna come with a broad thing, and then I'm gonna narrow it down. But here's the broad thing that I'm going to say: in two decades or more of helping people get delivered, I've never met anybody that didn't need deliverance. Not one soul, ever. And I've met people that didn't think they needed deliverance, and I've met people that sat down for deliverance, but their heart wasn't in it, and they didn't get a bit of deliverance, and they left full of demons. And because in all honesty, unless you have walked out some thorough repentance and thorough confession, you inherit so much from your ancestors. Maybe you're not doing a lot of the bad things that even you did in the past because you got born again and you're doing your best to obey God. But what happens is, because if we don't specifically address those things, those they'll just lay in hiding and go on to your children, or wait till you're weak and come up and destroy you or tempt you or that. So in my belief and everything I've seen and the word of my testimony, right, is that I've never seen a soul that could not benefit from deliverance. And if everybody's honest, they come to the table, and the table is this: if it's in me and it doesn't look like you, Lord, I want it out. Just like right. that. Now, what are some signs? Are you angry? Do you have anger? Do you blow your top all the time? If somebody doesn't agree with you, are you so rejected that if somebody doesn't agree with you, they're almost automatically your enemy, and they can't even have a different opinion without you feeling like you're less than? You're operating in a curse of rejection and a curse of anger. Listen, what if you can't stop masturbating? You're a man and your head's on a swivel. Every woman you see, boy, she walks by and your head pops that way. Your head pops that way. You rake her up and down with your eyes. You may have a beautiful wife. You love her and you cannot stop doing those lustful things. Maybe you're eating too many donuts. You've got a sugar addiction. You can't quit smoking.
You know, unless you haven't ate for a week or two and you're about to starve and you go in and you go, I'm going to go down to Krispy Kreme and get a dozen donuts, and those dozen donuts don't make it back to the house. You know, there's a problem there. There's something there spiritually driving you to do that.
And for those of us, and listen, I'm not imperfect at it. I fought that. Listen, I always said the food demon's probably the most powerful one there is, because you don't have to fornicate. And you don't have to drink, and you don't have to take drugs, but you're going to brush up against food for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and we always see the, like, you know, 340-pound pastor that's up there railing on and on and on about everyone's cocaine, heroin, and alcohol addiction, but they got this huge, big old, you know, fork in their eye.
Yeah.
Where they can't put that fork down, if you know what I mean.
Well, and they just blind in that area, in truth. But it's the truth. We all have to listen. Maybe you can't quit being judgmental. Right. Maybe you've got a critical spirit. Maybe you look at people as if you couldn't do what they're doing. And everything you see, you've got something negative to say about it. You've got a demon of judgmental and criticism. Unholy judgment. Now, maybe you're just not happy. Nothing is enough. No satisfaction in life. You have a spirit of heaviness on you. You withdraw. You go into depression. It is a spirit of heaviness. God has a prescription for it. He does.
But garment of praise.
It's a garment of praise. But see, what happens is you kick the demon out. You see, we repent. We say, look, bottom line of depression, hear me. Literally, because if God says put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, it means I've gotten unthankful somewhere. Mm. I've gotten ungrateful because I'm not appreciating whatever the Lord has done for me. So now here comes this spirit of heaviness and it finds ground.
Yeah, that's what I counsel people when they battle lifelong depression. I say, look, every time you feel depressed, I want you to sit down and don't find a mantra essentially that you can repeat. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for my life. You know, like, stop for a second and go, you know what, Lord, thank you for the safe drive to work today. Thank you for the, I have air in my lungs today. Thank you for the money that I had to go buy groceries. Thank you that my children ate today. Thank you that I could pay the power bill. Start being thankful.
For your socks and underwear.
Right. Because listen, the way heaviness works is we're like a flower. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to be praising the Lord. Okay. Well, what happens when a flower doesn't get the sunlight it needs?
It withers.
It withers. And that when someone's heavily depressed, they're withering because they won't praise the Lord. And I've never met a single person that battles depression
that wasn't
and all that. They're turning to comfort eating,
Yeah.
They're turning to self-pity and they're turning to all this stuff mm-hmm. instead of praising the Lord through it all.
And Dave, look, brother, and to whoever will hear, every single issue you have, no matter which one it is. Now, look, we'll never belittle somebody's pain. We would never belittle the wounding that some people take, horrible treatment from their fathers, mothers, right? From the abuse. We don't belittle that. But what we want to see is people come away from that and not be stuck back there. But
right.
not stay stuck. So if we're going to get better, it's like I explained to some ladies over this course of this weekend. All right, so the Bible says you haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And the Bible says anything not of faith is sin. So fear is the opposite of faith. Fear has no trust in God. The statement being made that if a person fears the Lord, they don't fear anything else. But oftentimes people don't equate that anxiety and that tension and that pressure and that stress with fear. And that's exactly what it is. Now, how are we going to get over that? We're going to have to tell God we're sorry, that that's not right. And admit to it. Hey, I wanted to read this scripture here too, and setting this table for deliverance. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So in the detail, right? So we started going into a little detail of certain things. So it could have been the sexual sin, could have been the fear, could have been the overeating, could have been the false comforters, could have been the depression, and we can go on and on with the list of works of the flesh. But what easily besets you?
Right.
The thing you can't whip. I'm not talking about every 2 months somebody gets to you and you might say something you shouldn't have said, and then you immediately repent. It was a work of the flesh. Now, we can grow in that so that we don't continue to do that. It can get better and better. But I'm telling you, if this is a every other day thing or a weekly thing, if this is something you can't whip, you're going to have to get some help.
Well, and also, one thing to look out is if you had to sit down and write every one of your thoughts down, all right, on a sheet of paper,
yep,
and you went back and read those thoughts and you were honest, thought about slapping this person because they ticked me off, thought about killing someone, thought about going and getting drunk, and you were like, you could find the pattern of how the devil's attacking you.
Because that's the exact truth, and out of overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right. So even and the thoughts come before the mouth speaks, and the thoughts right. come before the action.
Well, everything happens in the spirit and then manifests in the flesh.
In the flesh.
You know, if you hear in your mind, if I said, "Hey, Brother Randy, hope you're having a blessed day." And in your mind, you go, "Oh, he didn't say that. He said, hey, Brother Randy, hope you're having a blessed day." Right?
Yeah. What do you mean by that? Right?
Yeah. What did he mean by all that? Yeah. So it's, and people with certain spirits, they hear stuff like that.
The rejection will twist it.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
The spirits will twist it and they'll, you know, you said it right there. What compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's what we have to get deliverance from. If you could see in the spirit, you would see people with hundreds of chains on them,
Lord.
And boulders clapped to their ankles, and handcuffs, and robes of iniquity, and heavy crowns and yokes on them. You would see all this stuff that the devil's like, "Hey, here, take this. Hey, here, take this. Hey, here, take this." So you get destroyed. And so that is, we have to lay aside all these weights and walk in the easy burden and yoke of Christ.
And I didn't say it at the beginning, but I'm going to say it now. Perhaps the very beginning of walking out your freedom is forgiving everyone. It is forgiving everyone that hurt you, Because if you don't even forgive, you're not even forgiven according to the word of the living God. And if you don't forgive your brother from your heart, the Lord now, our loving Father, sends the tormentors, according right. to Jesus in Matthew 18. Right. And so you have to forgive. And one of the biggies, some people are able to forgive other people, but they won't forgive themselves. And so they stand off into that idolatry. And then some people are stuck because they blame God for something that happened on the earth by the sin of man and the work of the devil. And if you're that person,
people, you're right. Some people need to say, Lord, if I've ever blamed you for anything, forgive me.
Forgive me.
Right.
Because he's just.
Right. Because, you know, like Job says, shall we not receive good and evil from the Lord?
So we have a statement in the South about cutting your hand off to spite your wrist, you know?
Right.
I mean, come on. He's the only answer, the living God. So
if you're, here's what I want to break down is, if you're someone you're like, well, I may not know if I need deliverance or not, I want you to ask yourself a few questions. Are you driven to do certain things that you just can't stop? Mm-hmm. If you just can't stop it, you can't stop going to that, you know, that bar every night and getting drunk. You can't stop going to the whorehouse. You can't stop going to the drug dealer. If you're driven to it, if you just have no willpower and you have no ability to control yourself, you need deliverance.
And here's the wildest thing about these demons. Oh, there's plenty of wild things about them, but let me just say this.
Right.
The same one that tempts you to do something
is your accuser.
You really don't want to do deep in your soul of souls. You don't want to do it, but you end up doing it. Now hear me. The same ones come and put shame and guilt on you and say what an idiot you are for doing it. And
right.
beat you up.
Because they're like the guy in the back that's saying, fight, 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 fight. And then you get your butt whooped in a fight and it walks up. It's like, man, why did you even fight that guy?
Yeah. I mean, true story.
That's how Satan.
Yeah.
Like, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have fought that guy. You should have just said, hey, listen, we're cool.
Some of my own deliverances come when I decided I didn't want to be entertainment for demons anymore.
Yeah. You know, you think, am I just going to let them play with me for the rest of my life?
Yes.
I tell people, you got to ball your fist up. You got to get fighting mad at the devil. If I go to pray for someone and they're just like, yeah, it'd be nice if all this was gone. It'd be great if it would stop. I'm like, I don't think you're ready.
It's like going out on your front porch and there's a dog sitting there and you don't want him there. And you go, you got to leave. Get out of here. Yeah. It don't work like it. Get out of here.
Or there's a vagrant in your house that's squatting, right?
Yeah.
You got to go in there with a shotgun and say, hey, there's the door.
You need to get out of here, bud.
Yeah. So the other one is torment. Mm-hmm. Are you tormented?
Mm-hmm.
Are you vexed? Are you perplexed? Are you just like, I can't sleep? I'm every job I have, I lose. Everyone's always treating me poorly. Are you tormented? Well, if you're tormented, there's
mind race, Dave. That torment, the mind racers.
Right.
No peace.
I talk to some people, they, you know, while you're talking to them, and you get, if you get them calmed down, they're fine. But then the devil just organizes some little event to happen in their life. It's weirdest things will happen after deliverance, because this is, I'll show you how fast the devil wants to get back in, is you could have an old girlfriend or boyfriend from 20 years ago and they did you dirty and you forgive them and all this. And then 2 days later, they're calling you on the phone wanting to talk.
Yeah.
And you're going, this is really odd. Why is... But if you don't snap out of it, like, whoa, wait a second. What is this?
It's the enemy coming back.
And then you sit here and go, wow, I mean, maybe we could rekindle this old flame, or maybe this or whatever, or maybe they need to be in my life, and I can show them a Bible study, or we can just be friends or something, you know, whatever. There's rare cases. Please hear me. But that's how the devil's like, oh, I got in through this person, so I'm just going to set that right back up.
See about bringing it back.
I'm going to stop doing my I'm going to stop getting drunk and partying, and you repent of it. And guess who's calling you? Hey, Friday night, there's a big party, going to be a lot of people there. And you're going to go, oh, man, I really want to go, but I just repented of all that, and I just got deliverance of that. And then you're going to let the devil right back in the minute you entertain that. And it's not, hey, brother, sorry, I've given my life to Christ, and I've repented of all that, and I can't be doing that. And I love you, and I'll pray for you, but don't call me about these anymore.
Amen. You got to turn your back on the enemy, and right. You pray for those people, and you don't despise them because you were them.
Because we're going to talk about soul ties, but when soul ties get broken and sins get remitted and repented of, these soul ties want to reattach themselves. These demons want to get back in you.
And have a land. It's like a bridge. So the soul tie is like a bridge between two people. And you get it broke, and the enemy wants to reestablish it so that he can get his troops back in through that person. And, you know, Dave, it reminded me of like if you was a dope smoker and you give up marijuana, the guy that would never share anything is going to call you up and offer you a bag. Come on, I got all you.
They're going to call, hey, you want to come over and smoke? I just got an ounce, and, you know, I kind of just want somebody to chill with. And you're like, oh, man, I could go over there and smoke for free. Yeah, dude, trust me. Yeah. And then you'll say, well, I'm not doing that anymore. And you'll hear from the other side. Okay. All right. We'll see how long that lasts.
And in this conversation, when we're having this conversation, anybody listening know that we've lived this conversation.
Listen, I've been the one on the other end.
I've been the one that I've been the one that got turned back around. Listen, I mean, fortunately, once I really went after God, but I also remember other. Now, let me just say this. When I started going after the Lord, he pretty well helped me get rid of and stop doing a lot of things. And then I got my deliverance. So that happened. But I can remember fellas that were my good friends that wanted to behave. And I seduced them into going right. And doing the things we used to do. Father, thank you for forgiving me for that.
Yes, sir. Amen. And the other one is harassed. If you're just being harassed by these devils and demons, and harassment can come with, you know, weird illnesses out of anywhere, them trying to destroy and break up relationships. You can just hear blasphemy in your ears all day, just cursing God all day. Someone in your mind saying, you know, God's the worst, you know, he's not going to forgive you. Just blasphemy. Jesus is a piece of trash. Whatever you can imagine, someone that hates God would say. If a demon's on, if you're having those thoughts and you're like, these aren't my thoughts. Like, I don't think these things. I've had people, they reach out and they're like, Brother Dave, man, in my head, it's like blasphemy 24/7. And that is not me. Like, I love Jesus. And I'm like, okay, well, you have a demon.
Yep.
And it's trying to get you to eventually either come into agreement with those things or vex you and torment you into that sin.
Wear you out.
Or make you think like, well, God doesn't love me because I keep having these thoughts. What do people say? I must have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, or I must have done all this other stuff that people jump to, and they're off on getting into bondage land.
The thing is that, I mean, there's a very simple understanding if you get it, is that you have not blasphemed the Spirit and gone too far if you care. That's just
if you're willing to repent, because see, if you die in your sins and you refuse repentance and you refuse the gift of eternal life through Jesus, then you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You've died in your sin. You've died denying the truth.
But and they're born again people that are tormented by thinking they've gone too far. Right? But let me tell you something. If you have a seared conscience and a reprobate mind, you don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So the very evidence that you're concerned about it means you haven't gone too far.
You're going to hear stuff like people that are in that position, you're going to hear them say stuff like, it doesn't matter, I'm going to hell anyways. Or, God never loved me anyways, so I'm just going to live however I want. Or, God told me he rejected me and all that. And he says, I'll never forsake you. It's actually us that walk away from him, not the other way around.
Always.
So
I want to add one more thing. You said about sickness. Every autoimmune disease is demonic. Mm-hmm. Every autoimmune disease is rooted in self-hatred.
Yeah.
And what happens is when a person doesn't love themselves, the word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what happens is that you might not even be looking in the mirror going, I hate you. You might be, but you're not going, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. You're not walking around saying, I hate me, but deep down in your soul, even in the subconscious, maybe you weren't loved by your father, not loved by your mother. And that deep-seated rejection and self-hatred came in, and you're living life, but it's within your soul, even in the subconscious area. So your body just simply gets in agreement with your mind and begins to attack itself.
Right.
And I have seen miracles where those diseases that they say can't be healed just go away.
Yeah, look, amen. And you know, so much power in coming into agreement with the word of God, but also there's a lot of power of coming into agreement with essentially the word of Satan. So if you agree to with the word of Satan and you write that on your heart and in your mind, that's then going to manifest in your life. Just like if you write on your heart and mind that Jesus is Lord, I am redeemed by him, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, fear is not for me, and all this other stuff. Well, if you, I'm a piece of trash, I'm a klutz, I'm an idiot, I always mess up, all you put all this on you, well, then that's what you're going to reap. You reap what you sow.
True story.
And I want to make another point on sickness and illness. All sickness and illness is spiritual in nature. It is a manifestation of what's happening in the spirit. And people go, well, I don't believe that. Well, and they quote well, what about the blind man that was made blind for the glory of God? Well, how do you think God blinded that man? Do you think he sent an angel or a spirit to go carry forth, hey, go make that man blind from his birth? Or who forms who in the womb, right? And who is God? It says God is spirit. So everything is spirit. And some people have something on them from God to drive them to repentance. Some things people inherit from their parents' sins. This is why they were asking. They said, Jesus, what did his parents sin? What did they do? They knew that this was the general pattern. So, you know, unless you're being made blind for the glory of the kingdom or something to that level, which is going to be
rare,
like the 0.1 out of the 99.9%
or less,
right? More than likely, it's a demon that has a legal right that is causing your infirmity.
And as we're sitting there,
just to finish my thought here, it's a coping mechanism that the devil tells you, well, I guess I just have this for the glory of God.
It causes the believer to live far beneath the benefits God has given to us.
Correct.
And now listen, healing. I told a man the other day, listen, if you told me you had a cold, I'm going to ask you, do you need to forgive anybody? Do you have any open sin in your life? And I'm going to clear that out with you, if you will, before then we'd go on and command that spirit of infirmity to get out of you. And then pray for the reversal of the physical symptoms. But back to the man, when Jesus said, well, neither one, this is for the glory of God. So God is not forced to heal us. He heals us because he's good. But what I believe we're in agreement here, is that what we do is clear the path so we can say honestly in our appeal to God that we have repented for what we know to repent for. We've confessed for what we know to confess. We have then resisted the enemy. God is the one that does the supernatural work of healing in a body. Even if I'm speaking it and declaring it, he has to do it. And he does those things at his judgment for his kingdom. So even if those people, that man and his wife, were covenant people, eligible for healing, but they had sin in their background that it resulted, not everybody's sin resulted in blind people, but something in them probably did. And so here comes this boy blind, and God did not heal him that could have, because he was awaiting his appointment with the Messiah for the glory of God. Because if you don't know, God orchestrated every single thing Yeshua did. God in the flesh orchestrated the Son of Man, the Son of God, every move here on this earth, including that with that blind man. So for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So that's the thing that we need to be aware of. God is absolutely will deliver you. There are certain things, listen, certain healings require the gift of miracles, a supernatural healing. So a lot of things just require the gift of healing, gift of faith. We get the demons out of the way and a gift of healing comes. You lay hands on the sick recover. Those don't require a creative miracle. But if there's huge damage to the body of somebody, if there's something that needs to be regrowth or a liver that's totally shot, God has to do that. But he does. But the one thing we can do, and I know this, I always go to bat for people and clear everything I know to clear so that my appeal is strong to the Lord. So,
amen. And that's, you know, that's what we want to do as deliverance ministers, just go to bat as best we can. In intercession and through, you know, being stronger in the faith maybe than they are in that moment or for that one thing. You know, it's a whole picture that we have to look at here. But, you know, what I wanted to say too is that, you know, I've seen people that have had lifelong maladies and issues. They get deliverance and the stuff just their body, because certain demons, when they get in certain places, they'll stop the normal function of the body. And then when they're gone, people start detoxing, people's livers start working, people's that crick in the neck that's always there is gone, like just weird, like people that have like chronic 24/7 headaches, gone. Just once your body can actually heal.
An analogy of that would be a bad tenant in a house. You got a rent house and you got this bad tenant in there. Well, you go in there, and if you don't get that, you could go in there and clean the house. They're just going to trash it again. But if you go in there and get that tenant out, then you clean the house, that house has potential to stay clean. Amen.
Yeah, a very smart man said that in the Bible. Very smart. Smartest, actually. So we've talked about who needs deliverance. The next question is, what is deliverance? We touched upon it in the first episode, but you know, this episode is a foundational episode for continuing forward. And I just wanted to say, what is deliverance? I think it's an all-encompassing thing. I don't think it's just casting demons out. I don't think it's just the exorcism or the exorcising of spirits as a whole. Mm-hmm. That, I believe, is just part of the pie of deliverance. Mm-hmm. You know, preaching the gospel to the lost and them becoming saved is a part of deliverance.
Glory to God. It's the beginning.
It's the beginning, right? And you know, sometimes deliverance, casting out devils in this part of it, sometimes that is people get saved. I've seen unsaved people. Someone comes up and says, hey, I've got an issue. And they say, oh, well, that's a devil. And they kick it out and they're like, wait a second, what? Mm. What? And then they're like, wait a second, all this is real? Jesus is real? And they're like, yeah, Jesus is real. And he's like, well, I want to get baptized. I want to believe. And it's all because some believer stood up, believed in the name of Jesus, and casted a demon out that they had discernment on. And they didn't even have to tell them, you know, did you know that Jesus died for you? Let me read John 3:16 for you, brother. You know, they didn't have to tell him nothing. They showed the kingdom and the power of it.
Sometimes it's easier for a lost person to see that than somebody that's been raised in religiosity.
Brother Randy. Oh.
So go ahead.
What is deliverance? Deliverance is in teshuva, right? It's to be made whole. It's to be put in a place of correction and the, you know, restoration of perfect order and all of that. That is deliverance. You know, if you look at the Exodus account, you have this biblical, you know, view of deliverance. They were in bondage to sin and the Pharaoh, a false god, in Egypt, the land of bondage, Mitzrayim, and God took them out and subsequently destroyed that bondage and sin.
Yeah, they passed through the water too.
And they passed through the water, and then he took them, and then he said, hey, here's how you don't get back in bondage again, through my law, and I'll let you live in my land if you'll keep my law and not bring sin and bring Egypt back in here. And that's what deliverance is in a nutshell.
And amazingly enough, that whole first set of people, eventually only the people 20 years and younger went in, because those people weren't willing to let your Egypt be pulled out of them.
Right.
And they started complaining about wanting to be back in Egypt because they didn't have the onions and the leeks, and then he gave them enough quail to come out their nose, which is so, But that's the thing. And so the truth about deliverance is God, you know, first of all, we're saved. He passed us through the water. That was called a baptism. And in that, some of our enemies are destroyed, but they're not all gone. And then we then have to walk it out. Well, the truth is the majority of Israel refused to walk it out.
Right.
Jesus said, very Yeshua, the Holy One said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction and narrow the path that leads to eternal life, and few therein choose that. That's even, it, that applies in every aspect of the body and of Christ.
Well, and that's, you know, that's my major contention with people that want to throw away God's law. They want to sideline it or throw it away or say that it's not for us, is they're throwing out the instruction manual on how to live as a saved person. You know, the believer in the one true God that got rescued out of Egypt, they weren't given the law and said, okay, I'm going to take y'all out of Egypt once y'all are perfect in the law, and then we'll cross the Red Sea and I'll free you from Pharaoh. No, he graciously saved them out of Egypt and then mercifully gave them the law and then mercifully gave them time to learn it before he took them to the promised land. And that's the picture of what Yeshua is doing for us.
Yeah, that work that he does, that he's going to work on until the day of redemption.
That he's Amen.
Faithful to continue that work. And that's our sanctification process. But, you know, the law started in the garden. You can have everything here, just don't eat that. So the law got broke. I mean, that's God's instruction for life and abundant
right.
life. It happened there. And right. all of our problems, all of them, every problem every human has is because of people choosing the enemy in the flesh instead of God.
Every Amen. One. So to sum up what deliverance is, yes, it's casting out of devils. Yes, it's praying for healing. Yes, it's anointing people with oil. Yes, it's fasting. Yes, it's corporate prayer. Yes, it's battle buddying with a prayer warrior. Hey, Brother Randy, call me. I need you to pray over me this. That's all part of it, right? But let me explain to you the deepest, corest part of deliverance. The listener, Brother Randy already knows.
Well, maybe is, you teach me something. I'll listen.
Is that the devil only has power through a lie. He has no power whatsoever outside of the lie. And we as deliverance ministers, and everyone should be able to minister deliverance. So everyone's called to be a deliverance minister, and that's one of the main points of this podcast, is to teach people deliverance, how to do it, how to pray it, how to actually walk out and help people be discipled. The goal is to get someone out of a lie and in the truth, because listen, lies lead you to bondage, and the truth sets you free. Well, Jesus said he's the truth. The Bible says the law is the truth, okay? The devil is against God's law, and he's against Jesus. So he's the lie. So let me explain something to you. When Brother Randy says, you know what? I can steal that chocolate bar. It's okay for me to steal that chocolate bar at the gas station, just slip it right in my pocket. Yes, he's stealing. Thou shalt not steal. He's broken that commandment. But before he did that, in the spirit, in his mind, and in the spirit world, and in his thought, and in his heart, he came into an agreement with a lie. It's okay for me to steal this candy bar this time. Now, unless you stand against the devil and you say, no, thy shall not steal, I rebuke you, Satan, go away. You've come into agreement with the lie. Or unless you just say, no, I'm not stealing nothing, right? Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. So deliverance is, someone calls us and they say, man, I'm just battling fear. Okay, well, you've believed a lie that fear is for you, mm-hmm. that it's okay to fear, that it's not sin to fear, and that everyone's just dealing with that. There are some people that are fearless. There are fearless people walking around. That a grizzly bear and 10 men with a shotgun could be chasing them, and they're just like, yeah, well, it's just Tuesday, you know? Mm-hmm. So they have no fear. Mm-hmm. So fear is a lie. It's not, you can't, the Bible says we are to fear the Lord and Him alone.
Fear, according to the book of Revelation, he calls it cowards. And when it's talking about who's going in the lake of fire, it says cowards are right. going.
They're the first ones, because a coward is a turncoat.
Yeah.
They're a turncoat. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. So deliverance, in a nutshell, what is deliverance? It is you coming out of agreement with a lie and standing in the truth, because the devil loses his legal rights when you come into the agreement with the truth. And you can only do that through the forgiveness apportioned to us by the propitiation of Jesus, Son of God, on the cross. There's no other way to do it.
See, and that fear leads to doubt and unbelief. All fear, doubt, and unbelief run together. So many people, listen, if you're born again and you believe the word of God, then you're going to believe 1 John 1:9, which says that he is just and faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you should never sin on purpose. You should never take your white robes and jump in the mud puddle. But if you stumbled into it, if you got pushed into it, you run to the cleaners as an act of obedience. The blood of the Lamb of God, you run to the Lord and say, forgive me, I don't want to be that way, and he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now,
amen.
The devil does have power. People, I've seen a lot of charismatic people that say, that devil can't do nothing to me. Well, if you're full of pride, he can, because here's what happens when you sin. He doesn't have authority to do it to you until you give him permission to do it. Then he can use his power on you because you've given him authority with your sin. And see, all sin being a transgression of the law, all sin is a door opener. So you had ancestral door openers. You had imparted door openers where somebody touched you in a sinful way and the door opened and authority was given. See, even if your dad, you were an innocent child, and dad maybe he molested you, maybe he beat you, maybe he called you an idiot or demeaned you in some way, he was supposed to protect you. He was the authority keeper and the gatekeeper of the authority, and he gave that to the enemy to come in and torment you. And you got to take it back by confessing, by forgiving. Confessing sin, kicking those things out. But a lot of people, now hear me, a lot of people will just go to attacking demons and casting them out without ever taking anybody through repentance, without letting them, and they'll never stay free. They become a revolving door for demons because, you see, it is the truth you know that sets you free. It has to become, you got to become one with the truth or else you're going to be a revolving door for demons.
And that's a big problem. That's why if you go to a mass deliverance and there's no pre repentance before it, you might want to get out of there, because these demons, they will leave under the pressure of the Holy Spirit. But you know every mass deliverance I take people through, we confess Jesus, we renounce Satan, and we ask for forgiveness for all of our sins.
Dave, it's kind of funny because we have slightly different styles, but Dave says, I burn down the forest and see what's left. That's the truth.
Right.
Huh? I'm going to clear the, I call it clearing the clutter. Man, I found out. We said at the very beginning, as we began this discourse, is that who needs deliverance? And I've come to see that everybody's pretty well got everything.
Right. Well, you know, I love Pastor Worley. He used to say that we got to clear the underbrush before we get to those big trees, because you know, when you're going through a forest and it's got all that thick thicket and you can't get through it, mm-hmm. Well, let's cut all that down and then we can get to those trees. Yeah. So yeah, I am largely in agreement with that. I tend to be a little bit of a sniper.
All works together. Praise the Lord.
All works together. So the next question is, when should someone go get deliverance, Brother Randy?
Well, let me say this. There's a story in the Word of God in Exodus, I believe, about the plagues that God was putting on Egypt. And in one of those plagues, there were like millions of frogs. I mean, if you turned your bed back, there was frogs. Frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh calls Moses in and he says, the King James, entreat your God, get rid of these frogs. But he's saying, get rid of these frogs. Ask your God to take them away. And Moses asked him, well, when do you want me to do it? And he said, tomorrow. So the man could have asked for them to be gone right now. And he said he'd wait till tomorrow. So we always tell people, why would you spend another night with the frogs?
That's a good word.
So why not? Listen, if the Holy Spirit is revealing what we're speaking is truth to you. And I think we have to say one thing, too, is that, listen, some of you been through some deliverances. We're going to talk about types of deliverances and depths of deliverances and the structure of how those things are done and what we note that we believe and having seen with our eyes, our ears, and our own lives and other people's life is an effective way of doing that. Right. We're going to give that. And we don't not. We're glad for any. I know I am. I believe Dave, too. I celebrate anybody's pushing back darkness in any way at all. Thank you, Father, for whatever they're doing. But here's the deal. It's not a once and done deal. This is a lifetime deal. So for those of you that are listening, that this is all new, but you're being tweaked to the Lord. Yeah, I got this. Yep, this is happening. I'm not able to do this. I know that. Hey, listen, if you can't go pray for an old lady in the Walmart, no offense to the older ones. You know, I'm white haired. Okay. So if you can't go pray for somebody in the Walmart because you're afraid of them rejecting you, you've got a spirit of rejection. Even though you might not be bar hopping and whoremongering and smoking dope and blowing your
fear of man day, too,
but you've got a fear of man. That is correct. So everyone needs deliverance, and I would say the sooner the better. And if you've been through it before, hey, brush up. We're always getting maintenanced.
Hallelujah. Well, yeah, and that's what I said in the last episode of this podcast is that, you know, some of the people that need the most deliverance that think they don't are number one, deliverance ministers, but pastors as well. If you're a pastor, you know, you should have your own confessor or whatever, how the Catholics do it, but like you should have people that you go, hey, I need you to just come pray deliverance over me.
Exactly.
Because you don't know what you're picking up. You don't know what the devil has put on assignment to try to destroy you. You don't know whatever. Because if you're a pastor, you're without you knowing it, even if you're in a cessationist, you know, Calvinist, whatever, dead as dry as cracker juice, as one of my friends says.
There anyway. So
yeah, if you're in one of these dry as cracker juice churches, you're still doing spiritual warfare because you're preaching the gospel.
And you're subject to getting beat up because you don't have any understanding.
Right.
And deceiving.
How many of these pastors that get caught having all these affairs or having relations with some of the younger women behind the doors and you know, how many of those that started out really good, really anointed men of God, but the devil got them through that because no regular deliverance.
The people that I kind of came up under, right? I didn't even start walking out my deliverance, I mean, until I was 41 years old. I mean, I got saved I come out of the cloud where you lost your memory between the end of 99 and 2000. But by 2001, in the mid-range there, I went to the first deliverance I went through. But then, and in 2000, and then I went to another one in 2002, and I started picking up books and learning. But probably 2004 is where we went to the first one where they actually kicked out demons. And then the Lord put me in places with some of these old saints that started a long time ago. And deliverance never has quit, but you had very small pockets for a long, long time, all right, because of the religious system the enemy established. But it's like you mentioned, Win Worley, maybe he was, boy, one of the first, where, and Derek Prince and all these guys where it just blew, you know, they were the tip of the spear, say, here in the United States and in some European places and stuff. Okay.
I've always thought his name was prophetic as well, like Win the War, right? Win the Worley.
But the point being, these people that I was beginning to get more and more deliverance under and listen to and be mentored by and be taught by and all that, and they might have been doing deliverance 30 years, 40 years, some of them 50 years, they could be up ministering to you and start manifesting a demon in front of everybody. And they'd say, well, praise God, I'm getting delivered too. They weren't prideful.
It's happened to me a ton.
Well, come on. I mean, we should be, hallelujah, if another one leaves me, I don't care who sees.
Well, I would say this. Ultimately, when to get delivered would be when you're ready to repent. Not halfway repent. It'd be nice if I could stop this. If you have that thought, or I don't really want to give that up or whatever, you know, if you had this big leech on the side of your neck and was just sucking blood, right? That's how them demons are as well.
Yeah.
And you know, that may, you know, let's imagine that leech, makes you feel good, right? It's still sucking your blood out. It's still essentially a parasite, right? So you want these devils gone, but they're not going to leave unless the legal rights are broken, and they're only going to leave when the only way you can restore your right standing and not be a transgressor is through the blood of Jesus and the remission of sins through that. So the only way you can do that is repenting and stopping.
And that repent is an attitude of the heart. I want to stop this. I don't want to do this anymore. And I would, you know, James 4:7 says, submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. And I always tell people there's two parts to that story. I mean, you just think you're going to submit to God and not resist the devil. Well, he's just going to stick around and kick your tail all day. But if you don't submit to God, nothing's going to work. But now here's the deal. That's a heart issue. Do I want, if I am a true repentance is doing it because they love God. We love the Lord. We're grateful for the Lord, and you want to obey. So if you're not in your heart wanting to obey God, I would just have a prayer and say, Lord, put it in my heart. I yield to him. Give him permission. So, Lord, I've been a son or a daughter of disobedience, and I don't even think I want to behave. I just want the problems done. But I just need you to help me, and I give you permission to change my heart. Change my heart, oh, yeah.
Amen. You know, without the willingness to forgive everyone and repent, not much deliverance can happen. Something might leave, a few little scragglers, but they'll probably get right back in. We ultimately want to get to that strongman demon that's been running in your life, usually since you were born. And we want to tear down his whole kingdom that he's built in your life. And we want you to walk as free as possible so that you can obey Christ and live, you know, your best Christian life, sacrificing your life for Christ, not your best worldly material life. And with that, we conclude part one of What is Deliverance from the Free Indeed podcast. In the next part, we get into some more nitty-gritty details. We appreciate all of your likes, comments, reviews, shares, any way that you interact with this in any way. We appreciate it. Thank you and God bless.